This is The Rock.
Bill Allen.
Welcome to Newsmakers. When he was a scout with the Texas Rangers, Omar Minaya had a hand in developing Hall of Famer Ivan Rodriguez. Here's what Minaya had to say about Pudge. Enjoy the podcast.
I have one of the great guys in Major League Baseball. He was the general manager with the Mets and the Expos. He's also been a great scout with the Texas Rangers. He's now working for the Players Association. His name is Omar Minaya. Omar, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here. Always good talking baseball with you.
Likewise. Omar, the reason I'm calling you, it's basically about Pudge Rodriguez. You had a hand in developing Pudge Rodriguez with the Texas Rangers. And my first question to you, what stood out when it came to Pudge Rodriguez?
Well, I go back with Pudge from day one when we signed him. We signed him in Puerto Rico. I was fortunate to be able to see him as a 16-year-old at that time, and then also be a part of his overall development. And the thing that stood out with him, Bill, was, you know, first of all, it was just, you know, on the ability side, everybody knows he had a great arm. But the other thing is that he was just a good athlete. He was a very good athletic athlete. When we first tried him out, Bill, we ran him in the 60-yard dash. I think he ran like about a 6'9" at the 15-year-old. And then, of course, his bat, you know, his catching, his bat. But his overall, you can tell he had that determination to be the best that he can be. He was a, aggressive player, aggressive in the sense of working hard, focused, relentless in his approach in everything that he did.
Now, you kept a low profile at the Hall of Fame press conference. You were there during Pudge's press conference. And could you talk about how proud are you of him making the Hall of Fame?
Very proud, very proud. You know, you're proud because whenever you come in contact with guys and players and you've been a part of their career along the line and you reflect back on those early days of their career, those times that nobody knew who they were. And you were part of them, part of their career. You were part of their development. You were part of their lives. You knew where they came from. You knew how far they came from. You knew how hard they worked. And to see him up there in that podium handle himself so well and being part of a select group of players in the history of the game, it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling not only for the player, but it's a great feeling for the community that he came from. And you know that because you were there. Mm-hmm. It's a great feeling for the organization that signed them, the scouts, the development people, the fans, you know, all those, you know, ownership that knew and grew up with this guy. So it really, it's a reflection, but it's a good feeling overall, and it's a great feeling for the game to have a guy like him be up there.
Now, Omar, he came to the big leagues at age 19, and you knew him prior to that. Now, the question I have is, why was he so good behind the plate? It was more than just the arm. He was a leader at such a young age. How do you explain that?
Well, first of all, he probably had one of the best arms that I've ever, in my estimation, the best arm that I've ever seen, that I've ever laid on behind the plate. And it wasn't the arm. It was the quickness of the release also. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just shut the game down, you know, really. I mean, I can tell you that I remember a situation when guys like Kenny Lofton were taking small leads. Mm-hmm. Leads. Forget about stealing. Small leads because of his quickness, you know. But also what he did was, and I still remember when they brought him up, I remember, you know, Sandy Johnson, who was the scouting director, and Tom Greve was the general manager, and Bobby Valentine was the manager. And I was part of going down and seeing him in Double A. I think he was hitting about 270 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I believe 18 or 19 years old. It might have been 19, I think it was. And, you know, he was like, hey, you know, can this guy be up in the major leagues? Now, when you go and see him, and not don't get me wrong, we pushed him. We really believed in his ability, and we pushed him. And we always like pushing the good ones, whether it was him or Sammy Sosa, Juan Gonzalez, all those guys we pushed because we felt they could do it.
Wow.
But, you know, he did it because he was good. He just, his on the tool size, they were pluses all over. But on the overall determination, in a very sensitive position. Remember, catcher is a very sensitive position, especially for a kid that, you know, had to learn English to, English was his second language. Mm-hmm. He just did a great job, and you just felt that he was going to be special.
Wow. Why do you think Pudge lasted as long as he did? Because, you know, most catchers, you know, after 10 years, they're almost done because of, you know, the wear and tear, squatting and all that stuff. But he lasted a long, long time. Why do you think he lasted in the big leagues?
Well, I think it's a combination. I think, you know, as time goes by, Bill, medical, you know, advancement in medical and prevention, and all the things that players are able to do now. He basically worked hard. He was well worked during the winter, prepared himself. Remember, he used to go play winter ball too, you know. And you got to give credit to the medical staff or the teams that he was with. Those medical staff did a great job, and probably some managers giving him breaks along the way, mm-hmm. you know, making sure. Now, don't get me wrong, he wanted to play every day, but I'm pretty sure whether it was Johnny Oates or Bobby Valentine or the managers that he had over the years, they basically make sure that he get a break here or there. But I think medical advancement, I think players are lasting longer in large part because of medical advancement too. And he had that special body. He had a body that he has to put in the work, and he took care of himself.
So true. Where would you rank him as far as all-time catchers? Where would you rank him?
Well, I can only rank the ones that I've seen.
Yes.
So, you know, the ones that I've seen, he's the best that I've ever seen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I there's great ones out there, like, you know, like Johnny Bench. And they all have their specialty. They all have something that's, you got some great catchers there, So I can't speak for those guys. I can tell you for the ones that I did see, he's the best that I've ever seen.
Wow, that's amazing. Omar, people don't know this, but you had a hand in more than just Pudge. You had a hand in Juan Gonzalez, Sammy Sosa, and many others. And talk about how hard it is to scout the jewels of the game. Scouting is not easy.
It's not easy, but to scout the jewels is not hard. You know, the jewels, and don't get me wrong, those guys stand out. I think it's hard to scout, and I say this, those young guys like the Steven Matz of the world, mm-hmm. or maybe those young guys like the Vidros of the world, the Vasquez or the Javier Vasquez of the world that were drafted not first round, not up there, or maybe those Latin players that are signed that are not, you know, the premium guys. The jewels, those guys are easy to see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong, they're hard to get, but scouting is not an easy, it's a great, look, it's an art, I think. You got to have an instinct, you got to have, it goes beyond the quantifying of information, it's a subjective art, it goes beyond what the guy does physically, goes into the kind of person he is. And we're dealing with, you know, a good friend of mine just passed away, Jerry Krause, who was a true scout. And as he said, he was not only a basketball scout, he was a baseball scout.
Right.
And Jerry said that being a baseball scout is probably the hardest scout of all the scouting, because we're projecting on 16, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. No other sport you do that, you know? So it is, and the jewels, look, and don't get me wrong, it's luck, too, because I'm not going to tell you there's some guys that end up doing good, Bill, that you just say, I didn't like that guy that much, and they end up being great players, you know? So that's it's an imperfect science, and it's a science that will humble you, too, you know?
That's true. Omar, for people who don't know, what are you doing now? I know you work for the Players Association, but tell everyone your role there.
Well, I work very fortunate to be part of a great organization that was started by Marvin Miller and Dick Morris and the players, the Roberto Clementes of the world, the Jim Bunnings. And really, you know, I always felt that when I was a general manager, I thought it was, you know, I always wanted to consider myself a player's, player's front office person, meaning a guy that that appreciates players, that was able to, communicate with players, and most players just want you to tell them, be upfront and be honest and tell them the truth, and I have an opportunity to work with this organization and Tony Clark being the leader of the organization. And in a time where, there's so many things, we're living in a different time than it was in the early days of the union. Right now we are doing a lot of things with MLBPA, MLB. We are kind of just finished having the World Baseball Classic. It's a project that is from both sides that was very successful.
Yes.
We're involved in youth, so I'm helping out in the youth front. I'm also helping out just to be able to give our side of our organization an understanding of certain things and how organizations think and how issues are. We just finished having we worked out our agreement for 5 more years and issues of international, which I have a lot of history with, to be able to bring some knowledge to our side on the international issues and what if you do something, what does that mean? So I'm pretty kind of a utility in different roles, but I enjoy what I'm doing.
Would you like to be in the front office again?
No, I'm very happy where I am right now, Bill. Very happy. I'm working for good people. I am back in New York, as you know, as a New Yorker. Once a New Yorker, always a New Yorker. I'm not going to go away.
Yes.
And to be able to work in New York and be with my family and just city that I grew up with, it's a great feeling.
Omar Minaya, it's good, always good to talk to you, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Bill, it's a great pleasure to be with you. Me and you go way back to Montreal. Those are great years. Frank Robinson, and one of the best players I ever saw, Vladimir Guerrero, and I do believe that he will get in next year. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
He should be a first ballot. I mean, that was a no-brainer. I don't know what the writers were thinking there. So,
well, me and you got to see some greatness together. I can tell you that.
he was the best player I ever covered, by far. No one's
well,
better.
Well, I tell you what, he's as good as I've ever seen, and what a great guy. But the good thing is hopefully that next time they'll get it right, and he's been great about it. And I'm looking forward to that one.
No doubt about it. Omar Minaya, thank you so much.